an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And if we can give folks the tools and the strategies to create a better life for themselves, more emotional stability, better balance of stress, that to me is what it's all about. Emotional literacy, stress reduction, that just becomes a part of who you are. When you feel good, everyone around you benefits, whether that's at home or whether that's at work. I think it's just very important that it becomes ingrained and part of the culture.
Hi, and welcome back to Prevention Pioneers. Today, we have Kelly Wren. She is the wellness coordinator for Stream. Very excited to talk to you today, Kelly. I have heard so many great things about you. This is actually our first time meeting, which is always fun for meeting on here. But it is, because I'm so interested to learn what your secret sauce is. So a little bit of background. At Spirence, we've worked with Stream now for about a year. And you guys are one of those companies that has just fully embraced the platform in every way possible. You've utilized all of the tools, from the subclinical to the digital, to even people reaching out and requesting the clinical resources when they need them. And your culture
is great.
Just seems like it's on fire for wellness, and people get it and they're comfortable. So in my opinion, that doesn't happen without, number one, hard work, but number two, psychological safety and people like you who are fostering that culture. So I'd love to just learn a little bit about who you are, how you came to be in this role, and just give us your career background.
Of course, certainly. Well, thank you so much, Laura, for having me here today. I love to talk about our employee wellness program, because I'm just very interested in the prevention side of things when it comes to healthcare and such, and especially mental well-being. So, my name is Kelly Wren. So my background is, I am a registered nurse and have been now, oh my goodness, for well over 20 years, going closer to about 25 years. So the way things started for me is, I was a clinical nurse. I worked in cardiac step down. I then moved to the emergency department, where I worked for multiple years and really enjoyed my time there. Loved emergency nursing and everything about it. But as Laura, you and I were talking off camera for a few minutes, as I said, you know, folks would come into the emergency department and they weren't there because they were having a good day, right? Most folks who are coming into the emergency department are having one of their worst days. And so we would get to see them when things were really bad, not when things were really good. And it's always been a part of me to think, how could things be different for them? Now, sometimes accidents happen, of course, but oftentimes folks were coming in when they weren't at their mental well-being best. They were struggling mentally, they were struggling physically, and there were reasons that led up to that. So I thought, wouldn't it be a great idea to be able to step in and start an employee wellness program? And to give you a little background with that, is my husband is the co-founder of Stream Companies. And when they partnered with their current healthcare providers, they provided a wellness fund, if you will. This happened very organically. We were seated, I think, at the kitchen table one day, and we're talking about the employee wellness fund. And hey, well, what are you going to do with those employee wellness dollars? And he said, well, you know, this for this year, and this was a very small company at the time. I want to say they were maybe 150 employees at that time. So we're talking about 7-8 years ago. And he said, well, we bought everybody water bottles. And I was like, well, that is wonderful, but I think you can do more with it. I think that's a great start, right? Who doesn't want you to drink more water? It's great to be hydrated. Those things are wonderful. But hey, I'm looking for something different. At that point in time, I had left the emergency department. I was working per diem there. I was raising two young children. So I was, you know, trying to care for them, but also always worked part-time in some capacity. And I did some school nursing. I was deciding whether or not I was going to go back for my nurse practitioner, because I had been in school prior to having children for that, or whether I was going to search for something different. And I said, you know, I'm at that point in my life where I really have my eye on prevention, as I've always thought about that. But I really want to focus highly on that. So I'm going to go get my certification in health coaching, which I did. And I want to come back to your company and I'm going to put together a formal program. And that's exactly what I did, right? First time, never worked in employee wellness before, do not have an HR background or anything. And actually, we didn't have an HR at the time. Again, less than 100, about 150 employees. We had the same wonderful person who was doing our benefits. She did all our HR. She was what one size fits all. But as we've grown as a company, things have evolved over time. But I am a part-time employee. I was hired strictly to work in employee wellness, and that's what I do. So I coordinate the employee wellness program. I put together seminars. I put together particularly mental health seminars. We do things when we talk about like physical activity. We talk about all the pillars of health. But I would say that overall, especially over the last 5 years, we have focused heavily in the mental wellness space.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I have so much. We have so much to unpack from that.
Yeah. That was a lot to unpack, Sarah.
Yes. No, I just have so many questions. Well, I have to focus in on, the nursing piece because I just think nurses are so special. Like nurses are a special breed. And, you know, in my experience, you know, having kids or anytime I've been in the ER, it's the nurse that will take the time to educate.
Yeah.
And they'll take the time to connect.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting that you pulled, you know, prevention out of your experience in the ER as what is missing, because education is such a huge principle of prevention.
Absolutely.
So does that resonate? Do you find like, so say somebody you're in the, you know, when you were an ER nurse, somebody's coming in and, you know, there may be something physical going on, but it might not be as severe, as serious as what it feels like to them because it's scary, you know? So maybe their anxiety took hold and they're in a full-blown panic and they're like, just run these tests and see what's wrong with me. So speak to that. Like what would you do in those scenarios?
Well, Laura, you are absolutely correct. Oftentimes, we call it triage. When you first walk in and you're introduced to the emergency department, you'll either, you know, you'll meet someone from that's working in an emergency department, and oftentimes you'll see what's called a triage nurse. And that's one of the first times that someone will lay eyes on a person coming into the emergency department. And those things would happen. We would have people come in their most anxious times. And let's just take anxiety attacks. So since we're talking anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely.
We could have someone walking in, crushing chest pain, hyperventilating, not knowing what's going on. They are unsure of things. And quickly, you can assess them. And I love for you, and I'm so glad you brought up the nurse, because we usually are the first line of defense for people coming in to the emergency department. We're the first people that they see. We're the first people they interact with. We spend the most time with them most of the time. And so, for instance, you have someone coming in with an anxiety attack. They don't necessarily know that unless they have a significant history of anxiety. Say it's their first time coming in, their heart's racing, they have a hand over their heart. They're saying, I have chest pain. I think I'm having a heart attack. So you're going to assess the situation. You're going to find out what's going on. If you're noticing they're hyperventilating, you may quickly know this is probably not that case. This is probably an anxiety attack. But you're not necessarily going to say that to the patient, first off. You don't want to upset them. You want to make them feel comfortable and relaxed in your presence. So it's important to, you know, talk to them in a full and calming voice and say to them, okay, we're going to take care of you. You came to the right place. Let's have a seat. If you can't talk to me, is there a loved one who can have a conversation with me about what's going on? And you're quickly able to assess the situation and then triage what needs to happen next and be able to get people to understand that, you know, an anxiety attack is real. An anxiety attack feels real because it is real. Because those feelings and those sensations that you're feeling, they don't happen in a bubble. They're not just in your mind. You know, the brain and the gut, they work so closely together. You know, that sympathetic nervous system, that foot on the gas, that foot on the brake. You know, we need to talk about those things. We need to know, people need to understand that it isn't all in your head, that what you're feeling is real and those symptoms that you're having are real. And it's all to do with education. I think education is such an important piece in everything from A to Z when it comes to taking care of yourself and your own self-care.
Well, truly. And you know, our standard of care in modern medicine, and this is no hit on that, you know, that there are so many things that controls that, but like our standard of care doesn't go there really, you know, unless you find a great PCP, unless you find a nurse, you know, like my sister-in-law is a PCP in Ohio, and she takes that time, you know, she gives her patients education on anxiety, but not all areas of medicine have that ability. And quite frankly, not even all areas of mental health have that ability when you escalate to those crisis layers. Or, you know, my career was in residential behavioral health. And so by the time you have a family walking through the door of a residential treatment center, they're in crisis. And to your point, their nervous system is completely blown out, right? Like they're in fight or flight. It's very difficult to learn and to take new information in when you're in that state of mind. And, you know, I always say education on mental health can change somebody's life in 5 minutes. Just knowing one little thing, right?
I could not agree more. And I think that, you know, I believe I came on in the year 2018. And yes, mental health was certainly important. And it was a part, you know, when I started the program, it was very important for me to put together a health and wellness committee. So the health and wellness committee, we meet twice a year, and they're our employees. They're an everyday employee who just is interested in promoting health and wellness within the employees, within the company space. And so it's important for me to hear from them because they're the ones having the water cooler conversations. They're the ones that within their, you know, within their meetings might get on a couple of minutes early and be like, hey, how are you? You know what? I'm not great. I'm feeling a little isolated. I think, again, when we started the program in 2018, we focused on the pillars of health that I would say are, you know, obviously nutrition being huge, exercise, right? They're like two huge things.
For sure.
Sleep.
Yeah.
We'll count that as sleep, stress, right? Sleep. And then mental health. And we treated them we treated them equally. But when COVID hit and we had the mental health crisis, as I think we could all agree, there was just such a state of loneliness. We really ramped up our mental health seminars because it was so important for folks to feel as though they weren't alone in this, that what they were feeling, that high stress, the loneliness, the unknowns, they needed to feel like they were not alone. So it was certainly important for us to our partnerships with our mental health practitioners who do our seminars are very strong. And I'm thrilled at the network that we have been able to put together. And they were able to come through for us. And we were able to talk to the health and wellness committee and say, hey, guys, what are you hearing on the ground? Like, I know you're not in person together, but what is it that you are hearing on the ground that you guys want to talk about? What are you folks talking about to one another within meetings before those meetings get started, or maybe in those team chats? Let me know. And let's do a seminar on this. Let's get educated. Let's find out what are the tools and the tips and the tricks that we can do to keep our mental health very stable and improve it upon it.
Yeah. See you.
And we did just that.
Yeah. Yeah. Get ahead of it. You get ahead of it before there's the crisis, right? Which is just like, that's a mentality, right? Like that's a mentality that we are seeing more employers move towards. You know, the data is there now in the workplace that, you know, 75% of the average workforce does not identify with mental illness. They identify with mental wellness, but they want to maintain that, you know, especially these younger generations. And to your point, post-COVID, where there was a great awakening around it, where it was like, wow, okay, so everybody wants to stay physically well. You know, COVID, I think, scared the pants off of everybody there. Like, okay, everyone's going through, like, what's my physical wellness status, right? Like, am I healthy? If I'm healthy, how can I maintain that? And then that, you know, there's a direct correlation with mental health as well. mind, body, absolutely, spirit, you know? So in terms of your culture there, so you've really been embracing the mental health side for years, really since you came on. So talk to me about, so really the stigma, right? Like you've done a lot of work there, stigma-free in terms of talking about it. And I would say on our end with Spearance, we're seeing that in your team's utilization of the platform, because like I said, it's not just the digital products, which is what we see really heavily used across the board, but you guys are using every single piece of it. Even the, like I said, people even feeling comfortable requesting clinical care and coaching when they need it. So talk to me about bringing Spearance on and any conversations you've had, any benefit that you've seen, why you decided to bring it on. Just talk to me about this whole project or whatever you call that internally.
Yeah, Laura. So interestingly enough, I would love to take credit for bringing Spearance on. And technically, I did. However, I will say I have to give our Health and Wellness Committee credit where credit is due, because we have been looking, although I love our seminars and I love our team of mental health practitioners, I think we do our very best and we really try to work hard in honoring our Health and Wellness Committee's subject matter that they want to see in our upcoming seminars. And they give us great feedback and great ideas. And one of that feedback was, hey, we love what you're doing in the mental health space. It's great to have these seminars and it's great to have these recordings. But I would love something if we could have a place to go where there was mental health coaching, you know, maybe not a therapy session one-on-one, but somewhere where I could just be my best self and learn how to be my best self. Just a one-stop shop for mental health literacy. And incidentally, while that was being shopped around, we were introduced to Spearance Wellness. So the other co-founder of the company, he actually put me in an introduction email with someone from Spearance, and we met and I thought, this is what we've been looking for. And so to hear our utilization is where it is makes me very happy to hear this, because then I know for sure it is doing what it's meant to do, which is to help enrich people's lives. And to also know that, no, you don't have to be diagnosed with a mental illness. You don't have to suffer from depression or anxiety or another type of mental health condition. That mental health literacy is for everyone and anyone. And the fact that you can sign in and not only find information about substance abuse, how to talk to a family member when they are having depressive episodes, you can find information on how to lead a team, how to affect change, you know, within your community, within your team that you work with. So for us, this is global mental wellness. This isn't just about, you know, when I have an issue, I'm going to go seek help. This is more about, how do I prevent these issues from happening in the first place? How can I be mentally sharp and well? But also, you know, how can I improve upon myself when I'm working with someone? How can I communicate best? I think all those are very important features of Spearance Wellness. It's not just about, you know, I'm having an issue, although that's great. It's, I want to prevent that issue from happening in the first place, and I want to bring my best self to my company and to my home.
Mental health challenges make up 10% of workplace healthcare costs and lead to billions in lost productivity each year. Traditional employee assistance programs were created to help address these challenges. However, they are often underutilized because they are focused on reactive solutions instead of proactive solutions. That's why we created Spearance, to prioritize mental wellness in order to prevent mental illness. Spearance's science-backed platform offers an extensive and continually growing library of mental health courses crafted and delivered by clinical experts. The platform also features live events, interactive coaching, on-demand support tools, and dedicated support for managers. Our approach results in over 800% higher utilization than traditional EAPs. The world is moving towards proactive care, and Spirence is leading the way. Spirence, the future of workplace mental health.
That's the difference. Like, that's your culture. People are very eager. And I'm glad you mentioned the leadership piece because, you know, obviously we would never reveal who is watching what. It is a completely confidential platform.
Absolutely.
We are able to see, you know, across companies, the trends of the types of content and tools that people are engaging with, and really platform-wide, not just at Stream, but the leadership content is increasing in popularity because I think it's also really challenging in today's day and age to be a leader, especially at that middle management layer, because people are so awake, right? Like, people are expecting more of their lives, of themselves, of the workplace. Like, it's kind of like, as a society, we've shifted more into that growth mindset, which it seems like Stream has already been in, right? Like, you just have the culture that you know, that embraces that. One other thing that is interesting is that not just with Stream but platform-wide is seeing the common threads that run through people. You know, the popular content, it's substance use disorders. That's actually our most popular content. I think a lot of people, you know, in the day of sober curiosity and mindful drinking, they're trying to stay aware of what it might look like, but also relationships is top, anxiety, family stuff. So we all kind of have these common threads.
Mental health challenges make up 10% of workplace healthcare costs and lead to billions in lost productivity each year. Traditional employee assistance programs were created to help address these challenges. However, they are often underutilized because they are focused on reactive solutions instead of proactive solutions. That's why we created Spirence, to prioritize mental wellness in order to prevent mental illness. Spirence's science-backed platform offers an extensive and continually growing library of mental health courses crafted and delivered by clinical experts. The platform also features live events, interactive coaching, on-demand support tools, and dedicated support for managers. Our approach results in over 800% higher utilization than traditional EAPs. The world is moving towards proactive care, and Spirence is leading the way. Spirence, the future of workplace mental health.
How would you say you talk to people about the different wellness offerings that you have? I know that that's a challenge for a lot of companies, how they communicate it. Do you think that that's best done one-on-one? And do you incorporate that in the onboarding process? Or do you think that's best done? Or is it also effective, I guess, as a blanket approach where you're consistently sending out communication? Talk to me about like your secret sauce there.
You know, I think things change for everybody pre-COVID and post-COVID. So I will say pre-COVID, we had in-person onboarding, so employee wellness onboarding. So any new employee that comes, I get their name, and I invite them to our employee wellness onboarding. And so then we go over all of our offerings. So presentation deck, these are our offerings. Of course, we have Spirence on there. I think they have 3 slides on Spirence. So we talk all about Spirence as well as our other offerings. So typically, it's an onboarding at the beginning of their career at Stream Companies in Full Throttle. And then follow-up emails. So pre-COVID, it was in person. Post-COVID, everything is through, you know, we use our Teams. We use Outlook for Teams. And so that's how we onboard new folks. As far as how we communicate throughout the year, it's typically through emails because we are not all in person.
Right. So I ask that. Okay.
Yes. When COVID hit, we were mostly, I would say, a local company, and we had a few different satellite offices throughout the United States. But post-COVID and during COVID, we hired a lot across the United States and internationally as well. We have some international employees.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we're all over. So I love having our employee wellness onboardings. I usually hold those monthly. And again, all new employees are invited. I love to have those. And the first thing I say is, where are you signing on from? Because I love to understand, where are you? Are you in Colorado? Are you in, you know, Florida? Because that helps me understand, too, when we're scheduling our seminars, I want to know. I don't want to make a 10 a.m. seminar, because what about our folks on Pacific Standard Time?
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that I can kind of accommodate everyone and their schedules. So that's how we introduce our employee wellness program. As far as ongoing communication, again, emails, sometimes through team chats, but most of the time, if I really want to get a hold of somebody, it's through an email blast is usually how we'll do it. And then our Outlook invites to various seminars and things like that. Yeah. Yeah. And then we'll hold usually once to twice a year. We will hold informational sessions. So we're just coming up on the time that I'm going to ask Jennifer to come back in and speak about Spirence, because I think it's important to do that. I recently sent out a survey a few weeks back because I wanted to understand how much folks knew about our program and are they engaging with our program. And of course, Spirence being one of the platforms we use for our mental health literacy, I sent out something. Do you know about Spirence? Do you know what Spirence is? Because folks miss emails. Folks are busy. They're working.
Yeah.
So they may not see that. So it's important that you're consistently sending reminder emails, that you're also following up, that you are doing those live informational sessions. Because someone may just ignore an email, but if they see an Outlook invite that says informational session, they're more likely to come. At least that's what we
think. Yeah, you guys are consistent. Yeah, you guys are. And I think you mentioned it in the beginning, that the fact that you have a dedicated role at Stream to continue, you know, and to send those consistent messages, and people do get to know you with wellness. You know, I do hear feedback from HR teams that, you know, HR today has to be actually very similar to what nurses are in the medical profession. That's HR. They have to be everything. You know, they have
jack of all trades.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and is this the person that's comfortable coming to them about, you know, a leave of absence or payroll, comfortable coming to them about mental wellness, you know, and should that be? So I love that Stream has that dedicated role. I'm curious to the engagement of your survey, because Stream has, I think you guys are over 30% of your employees are using Spirence currently.
That is wonderful. And if I had it my way, it'd be much higher. But I am so thrilled that 30% of folks have signed on to use Spirence.
Yeah.
And I think, and hopefully as time goes on and people feel confident and comfortable within our company and find out what we're really about and our culture, I think we'll see that rise. I think it's just very important that it becomes ingrained and part of the culture.
Yeah.
That emotional literacy, stress reduction, that just becomes a part of who you are. Again, going back to that prevention piece, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And, you know, why is it important to have an employee wellness program? Well, when you feel good, everyone around you benefits. Everyone around you benefits, whether that's at home or whether that's at work. And that's just really the truth. And if we can give folks the tools and the strategies to create a better life for themselves, more emotional stability, better balance of stress, you know, that to me is what it's all about. And when we talk about the pillars of health, when we're talking about physical activity, and when we're talking about good nutrition, and we're talking about sleep hygiene, we're always going back to mental health, because those three things help improve your mental well-being, right? They all interact together, right? So I always think about that. I always tell folks when we're doing our onboardings, just think about when you don't get enough sleep, right? How do you feel? If you've had children, you know, when you've gone through infancy, what lack of sleep does to you and what it does to your mental well-being. You're not at your best, right? You're not at your best at home. You're not at your best at work. Like, why it's important that we take the time to think about our sleep hygiene. Why is it important to take the time to think about our physical activity? Well, we know that when we exercise, we can build those endorphins. We know that it's a way to blow off steam and to create stress reduction. we also know if we have good nutrition, how much the gut and the mind are influenced, you know, bidirectionally, really. When we talk about the gut microbiome and how important it is for us to feed our minds with good nutrition, these don't exist in a vacuum. You know, they're all interrelated. And I think that's super important for everyone to know and understand. And I think that's what my role is about. My role is, I believe myself as an educator. You know, I want folks to be able to utilize the tools that we have for them through the employee wellness program to create their best selves. You know, what does that look like? The emotional wellness for them. What does stress reduction look like for them? And it's not a one size fits all. That's why it's great to be able to offer our mental health seminars, but even more important, be able to offer something like Spirence, where it's there for them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at any moment in time. As far as the recordings are concerned, them being able to go through and just, hey, I have this on my mind.
I need tools.
Yeah. I need strategies.
That's what happens.
How am I going to do that? Yeah. And rather than Google a solution,
yeah,
if you can provide them with a platform such as Spirence,
right,
you know, that just takes one less step away from them, which is great.
Yeah. Well, you can trust that it's an expert.
Yeah.
That was the whole premise of it is, you know, even in these new generations, it's like 65% of college students today are learning about their physical health and their mental health online. And Lord knows all the information that's out there, you know, so just to have, yes, have a place where it's the expert. But then also, you know, our neuroscience content's really popular. And that reminds, yes, me of something that you've said multiple times in this, because people understanding that connection, and you are a shining example and voice for that. And I think that this time in space is very focused on that, Kelly. And the fact that you've already kind of ingrained that in your culture at Stream, you're ahead of the game. You know, so many people are now looking at their gut health and they're looking at their mental health and they're looking at the correlation to their physical health and they're looking at their nutrition, you know. So you're really a step ahead with that. And I mean, we keep saying it, but that shows in your staff's utilization of an educational product. I want to talk about coaching, yeah, for a minute, because you brought it up. You are a health coach. You're a certified health coach. And that's, I will say from our perspective, that's another really popular thing at Spirence. Now, when we built Spirence, the co-founder and I both came from the residential behavioral health case care space.
Okay.
The founder, Mike, is the CEO, was the CEO. He's now the board of a residential behavioral health care center. And I also worked for 16 years in residential behavioral health. And we saw, as I mentioned in the beginning, what you saw in the emergency room. We saw that on the behavioral health care side and how just little pieces of information could completely shift somebody's world. And oftentimes, not to keep, you know, harping on the physical health and the mental health correlation, but by the time somebody gets to a residential treatment center, their physical health has declined. And Kelly, I can't tell you the amount of cases I worked in 16 years where just like that, from substance abuse, somebody's physical health would rapidly decline. And it was like, whoa, how did we get here? Right. And then they looked back and they see, oh, wow, it's been the tornado that's been going through my life through all those years. And I had no idea. I had no idea what the signs and what the symptoms were. So I think that coaching is such a profound kind of like, not invention, it's been around forever, but more and more people are embracing it. So in coaching, and just so for the audience understands, in terms of the spectrum of mental wellness, you know, you have the mental health literacy, like Kelly, you know, and I've been talking about, that's on the one end of the spectrum. Then coaching is somewhere like right there in the middle. You know, and then that's often right before in the prevention step before you go to that clinical care. In fact, a lot of coaches will refer people to that next layer at different times when they might need it. Let's say anxiety has increased for a certain stressor in your life. that coach would say, okay, maybe actually we wanted to get some clinical support for this and unpack this on a little bit of deeper level. So talk to me about your coaching experience, where that comes into play with your work at Stream. And then do you do private coaching? Do you have a private coaching business?
You know, I thought, again, going back to the inception of the employee wellness program, I thought it was important for me not only to be a registered nurse, but also to have a background in health coaching. Having said that, being Western-trained, evidence-based practice person, it was important to me to find a program that aligned with that and had an understanding between, you know, because there's a lot of different coaching programs out there and there's a lot of different lengths of coaching programs out there. So for me, it was important to find an evidence-based coaching program such as the American Council on Exercise, ACE, also known as ACE. So I went through their coaching program. And what I will say is for myself, no, I do not currently coach anyone one-on-one. While I was working with Stream and the employee wellness, I found that I enjoy, for me, this is for me personally, I enjoy more of the education piece of it. And I take pieces of the coaching from that, like motivational interviewing,
right?
Things like that. And I always like to discern and say right up front to folks when I would speak with them in like a larger group coaching session, you know, I'm not a therapist. That is not what we do here. A coach is there to motivate you.
Right.
You know, I'm there to help your reasons why you do what you do and to help you with the accountability piece, you know? So I'm not necessarily going to counsel you on nutrition. I can give you some tips of what I learned. That's within my scope of practice. We can talk about physical activity and we can talk, you know, what are the goals of physical activity, how much physical activity you should get, what is recommended. But, you know, I'm not a physician. And so it's important to understand, one, what is your scope of practice as a coach? Well, you are there as a motivator. You are there as someone who is there to ask the question, why? You know, why? And then to help with follow through and accountability. And that is really what a coach's job is within working with either one-on-ones or within a group. So I found quickly that I personally like to work in large group settings and more in the education part of it. Now, I will say, having said that, again, going back to our health and wellness committee, they are awesome. They helped to get Spirits up and running because people were suggesting this. They were giving us feedback on what they wanted to see. The same goes for the one-on-one group health coaching. So just recently, someone who loves to do more of the small group health coaching, we outsourced to them and they work with our employees. But I had to have a personal relationship and a professional relationship and understanding with that person about what health coaching looks like from our employee wellness program. And that is very much a delineation of this is what a health coach is. This is what a registered dietitian does. This is what a personal trainer is able to do within their scope of practice. And this is what physicians do. So again, it was very important for us to set a standard of care within our group health coaching. So we do small group health coachings. For right now, I find myself busy enough. This is a ever-evolving employee wellness program, and we are always adding on more and more great ways to help our employees improve their overall health and well-being, and that keeps me busy enough. So perhaps one day I will go back to one-on-one health coaching, but for now, this is good.
Yeah. Yeah. It is amazing too, how all of those pieces just tend to integrate. Like we can integrate them into what we're doing and it just helps us be that much more effective. Yes. What is your biggest frustration with leading employee wellness at a company? Like what's your biggest kind of like sticking point of like, oh, if this could just change, things would be so much easier.
So Laura, that's a really great question. And I would say utilization is always the sticking point, right?
Yeah, like yeah.
I love to see numbers growing. I love to see when I see 70 folks to 110 folks on our seminars that are live. And then I go back and I see 20 to 30 have viewed our recordings. To me, that gives me just the drive to keep going,
yeah.
Right? You really want to see that you're making a difference in someone's life. Whether that's one person or that's 100 persons, really, you want to hear about those anecdotal stories. Of course. Who does? Who doesn't want to hear that?
We're the same way as Spirits. Yeah. It's like,
yeah, you want to hear that you made a difference in just one person's life.
Right.
But if you're going to be offering a program and you are going to be, you know, paying for that program, of course you want to see feedback. You want to see that people are utilizing the program.
Yeah.
You want to see that they're going and they're logging on and that they're watching seminars and they're attending live coaching and they're reaching out to Spirits and they're asking the questions. That's really what you want to see at the end of the day. And so I don't think we're any different than most other employers. You know, they want to see that the money that they're putting into a program is worth what they're getting back in return. You want to see, again, it goes back to when you feel good, everyone around you benefits, but you want to see that difference. You want to see those numbers rising and rising year after year in your attendance, in your seminars. And, you know, we are able to do that. And again, going back to my health and wellness committee, they came to me 5 years ago and they said, Kelly, wouldn't it be great if we could reward folks for coming to the seminars, for doing our health challenges? We do 2 different health challenges a year. Right now we're doing our spring health challenge, which is all about physical activity and getting our physical activity minutes in. And we're working together as a team. So we have to enter our minutes as a team and they're averaged out. So that really matters. And then we do mental well-being challenges as well. So we started a rewards program. So we were able to find, again, a platform where we could record all of our rewards. So in other words, if you, starting in May, if you log on to Spirits and you attend either one of their live coaching seminars or you go to one of your wonderful recordings, you will be rewarded points for that. And that will happen month over month. And we do that for our live seminars. We do that for our spring health challenges. We do that if you go and you get your annual exam each year. We also do it if you fill out a health questionnaire. And at the end of the year, you can redeem those points for a gift of your choosing. So just, again, another way to incentivize folks to utilize our program, to come to our seminars. Because you know what? It's only going to improve your life and make you a better person at home and at work. But sometimes you need that extra push. Let's be honest. Sometimes you need that incentive. You need to say to people, hey, listen, we're so glad you're here. And we know you're doing the right thing by increasing your physical activity. We know you're doing the right thing and you're going to be better off because you attended a leadership seminar through Spirits or that you attended a live coaching seminar through Spirits and you reached out to them. But we also know that if we can provide you with rewards along the way, you're more likely to do it, right? Just as with health coaching. When you're health coaching someone, you want them to set goals. You want them to set a goal. And when they reach that goal, you want them to reward themselves. You know, you need those little incentives. I think everybody does. So I think that's an important piece. So to answer your question, it is frustrating. Yeah, going back to that, we'll go round back. But it's frustrating if you're not seeing utilization numbers that you want to see in a particular area of your program. And that can go back to just not knowing they're available. I can't tell you how many times I will get someone an email at least once a month saying, I didn't know you offered this. I didn't know this was an offering. And I think to myself, wow, you know, I thought we were doing a good enough
like,
job. Yeah. And so that's why, again, going back to the point of you can't just, you know, orient new employees and have new employee onboards with your employee wellness program and with your Spirits program and with your FitBod program, because we use, you know, and we found a need to offer our folks not only reimbursement for fitness, but also say, here, we have this AI generated, almost like a personal trainer in your pocket that we are willing to partner with you. And you can use this as long as you're an employee here with us. We want you to utilize this. So again, going back to the point of, sometimes people just don't know, or sometimes they need to hear it more than once, more than twice, maybe third time's a charm.
Yeah, there are, to your point, so many factors that go into utilization. And
you know, what we hear a lot as well, and what we see is even it's generational. Like, we have five generations in the workforce right now for the first time in wow. history. But so, you know, you might get that older generation that they're not ever going to pay attention to a mental wellness program, but they right. might pay attention to a resilience tool. You know, it's just it's even trying to message it differently for each of those generations. That's a big job. And I think the fact that you guys have given that proper attention and have put someone as passionate as you in that role, Kelly, I mean, honestly, I had heard great things, but I am so grateful to have met you and to, you know, you have really great energy and you really understand this from so
Thank
many
you.
Angles. And I very much enjoyed this conversation. Anyway, I think with that, we will go ahead and say goodbye. And we thank you very much for your time, Kelly, and for sharing with us and for all that you do to help all of your employees at Stream. And thank you so much for joining Prevention Pioneers. We hope to see you again on the next show. Thank you.